This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Third and eight, snap to Goff. Stunt, they blitz him, he throws it deep down the right side, caught. Jameson Williams over Diggs, in for the touchdown.
And it could have been even worse for Diggs. Jameson Williams had a huge drop yesterday as well.
He had daylight. With his speed, I mean, he may have gone on that one.
47-9, your 1-2-3 blame game for what happened yesterday. The worst home loss since 1988 for the Cowboys. They become the first team since at least 2000 to trail by 14 or more at halftime in four consecutive home games, playoffs included, 27-6 at the half. That puts the combined total Dallas halftime deficit at 110-35 going back to the playoff game against the Packers. That followed a 16-game home winning streak. That was the second longest in franchise history. But now, the 167 points allowed are the third most in a four-game home stretch in the history of the league.
You heard that little note there, caught over Trayvon Diggs. It's been a common theme this year. According to NFL Pro, this is the most average separation that Trayvon Diggs has given up in his career. And he is forcing the fewest tight window throws of his entire career. That includes back 2020, his rookie year. That's 2021 when he was Mr. Gambler and would give up big plays. The year he was giving up those big plays and still had 10 picks, the average separation on throws to him was 2.8 yards. This year it's 3.7. He's given up more than a yard per target on average, more than he did that.
He would bait you. Like, he would bait a lot of...
His master at it.
And, this year either he doesn't have the catch-up speed because of the knee... or teams just figured him out. I mean, I don't know. But it's not a good year for him by any stretch. And you see those plays. Look,
you know what?
A whole lot of guys to keep up with Jameson Williams speed wise.
Yeah,
but some of those are bad.
Get your hands on it, like jam him.
You know what he's a master of now? Having an attitude and getting snarky in the weekly presser sessions when the media goes, "Hey, what type of receivers Amon-Ra?" Well, give us a little breakdown of Jameson Williams' game, and Trayvon wants to have attitude oozing out of his pores to dismiss and talk down to the reporter asking that weekly question. Work a little bit more on your game than your sarcastic, smart-ass responses every single week. Mm. You're just oozing all that attitude that we expect out there on the field while you're dodging and being terrified of tackling. Terrified. Yeah. It's like he thinks... I talked to you about this a few weeks ago. I'm like, it's like Trayvon thinks when he ducks his shoulder and makes the first initial impact that's going to come across good enough, like on tape or the effort. It doesn't matter if the ball carrier comes down or not. But yesterday, Tolos put him on blast in slow motion for that tackling effort. And the coverage wasn't much better.
Yeah, the only good news for him is that everybody else was tackling equally as poorly, that it kind of got it did get overshadowed a little bit. I wonder, like, you know, is any of his play this year related to the knee?
I mean, not refusing to tackle has
refusing
nothing to
tackle
with his knee.
Is not.
Not getting a jam on Jameson Williams off the line of scrimmage has nothing to do with his knee. Some of the long speed stuff, maybe. But, I mean, in general, there's a lot wrong with his game right now that has nothing to do with that aspect of it, I don't think. He's just, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulders. Honestly, give him a shot at running back. He does a really great job making sure he avoids all sorts of contact. I don't know that they could tackle him.
Let me hear Rex Ryan live on TV.
I said they were going to get their ass kicked because they weren't just going to lose the physical battle and the man versus man battle. They were going to lose the coaching battle, and it was going to be epic. And so I knew that was coming. And Ben Johnson, a mismatch of the century, is Ben Johnson versus Zimmer. Like, come on, give me a break here. Like, they never punted, for God's sake. They never punted. You could have put a high school defense out there is what it looked like at times anyway. And poor number six,
Donovan.
Donovan Wilson.
Donovan Wilson's an absolute man-child. I'll tip my hat to you because this poor guy had to make tackle after tackle after tackle. Look at him put his face in there. It would have been nice to have a linebacker hit like that. Instead, this kid's playing safety. By the way, that's a nice play right there. Great play design. And, man, I love Detroit Rock City. They rock their world. You know, it's a beat. What's the last name I'm looking for? Don, thank you very much.
D-1. Who is pettier between Rex and Dan Campbell right there? He was waiting to load that up for Zimmer.
Because, you know, he praised Zimmer. Was it either last week or the week before? I can't remember which one it was. But he really praised Zimmer for their defensive performance. And look, I mean,
that was his, like, I got to give a compliment.
I got to give one. I got to do it just to stay balanced, right? Fair and biased.
It's like when I throw a star up every 6 weeks to McCarthy.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, Donovan Wilson got dragged by Montgomery on the first touchdown. He got spun around like he was in a laundry machine hanging on to Wilson to Montgomery's undershirt.
Yeah. But, he went in on that one there. And that's, I mean, Rex is basically auditioning. He wants back in the league now, right? He's auditioning for everything. He just wants so back in this league.
What's wrong, Bobby?
I mean, it's like Zimmer's not been good, but the level of like petty that Rex Ryan is on right now, given how his last 5 years as an NFL coach went, it's rich.
He'll be part of our off-season time machine tomorrow.
By the way, it had nothing to do with money. That's not why you didn't get this job. You were never getting this job.
All right. Try to order it for yesterday, 1-2-3 with the blame game at 877-881-1053. Go ahead, Chop.
I thought you were going to give options.
No, wherever you want.
Oh.
I'm not giving options.
Okay.
I want to see. To me, this is harder than doing power ranking. This is an extremely difficult exercise.
Because there's so much equal blame.
Yeah.
Like everybody showed up just as poorly, which is why number one on the list is McCarthy. Because everyone showed up the same way. The same lack of preparation, or even if you want to just say it's shared, it's co-MVPs or co-star downs with Mike Zimmer and Mike McCarthy. They can share it. That's fine. One of them overseeing overall team, Zimmer overseeing defense.
No,
that's fine. But no, it's coaching is the biggest star down because everybody came out with the same flat play. And then after that, it's probably Dak then Diggs.
They're not. None of those are my one.
Number one is guts. They're gutless, person. Man. They are gutless.
They are gutless.
That is number one. At the end of the day, football is a lot. It's about a lot of things. But first and foremost, it is about desire and guts and want. You've got to be willing to get your head in there and do something like that. That's the number one thing.
And who oversees it?
What?
And who oversees it?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sick and tired of this town just giving the players a pass. And how many head coaches and coordinators are you going to let these players roll through before you blame the players?
Right.
And they do this. We do this. And I'm not saying it's you, Bobby, because it's not you. Your level head. I know you got your Dak thing. I love Dak, too, but I've soured on him. But we have changed 5 coordinators and 2 head coach or whatever the number is. It's just like, when are we going to start?
The number one blame, and it's not close for me, is the last name Jones.
Which one?
Pick.
You think I'm an idiot?
the blame is the last name Jones. This game, this matchup, the Detroit Lions, we knew were the problem with this football.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All team for years. You cannot match up and avoid even getting your ass blown out by a tough, physical, dynamic team. Jerry knew it, or I thought he did. We all knew it. The fans knew it in the offseason. And Steven apparently didn't get that memo either. So I'm not going to blame Mike McCarthy, one. And I'm not going to blame the players, one. Jerry and Steven Jones did nothing to prevent that annihilation that happened yesterday. They did nothing to prevent, and I know they're going to cry contract. They're going to start subtly probably blaming Dak and Diggs and Lamb and eventually Micah. That's what they're going to do. That's my guess. But they did nothing to stop what happened against the Saints, nothing to stop what happened against the Ravens, and nothing to stop or prevent what happened yesterday, and nothing to stop or prevent what's going to happen after the bye. Number one, Jones. Personnel, attitude, backbone, roster.
Yep.
It has been a problem for years. I'm the one talking about the hot noise, calling out all these guys. This collection, this group, is going to go down as making a nice amount of money. But nothing in the way of getting close to anything significant. Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, that's the way it's looking for them with their legacy around here. And people are tweeting, CD, you might have gotten your bag. You made a mistake coming back here, man. You made a mistake because you're better than this. Now, some people don't believe that. The antics continuing. Not the antics, sorry. The communication between him and Dak. Number one for me is Jones, because we knew that this is going to happen every time they match up against this squad, and Jerry and Steven did nothing to change it.
They could have Dan Campbell as the head coach of this team, and they still would not be what Detroit is, because I don't believe that it works with the organizational structure here. You could bring the toughest head coach in here in the world. You could bring in, Dan Campbell. And they would not have the same mentality that Detroit has.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because there's too many other... This is a circus, all right? And as was Andrew Hawkins said on ESPN a couple of weeks ago, he goes, when you bring... when you go to the circus, you don't change it. You become the clown, too, with Bill Belichick, if he were to come here. Right, because all the players can just go up to Jerry.
Someone tweeted yesterday, Tom Brady's in the building. He'd have zero championships if his career was Dallas.
I fully believe that.
You do?
Yeah, I don't fully believe that. But it's just too easy to work around the head coach. Do you think any of the Lion players even know who Dan Campbell Ford is?
But Dan Campbell, like, for instance, Dan Campbell's organizational structure, he doesn't call personnel either, and he doesn't call plays.
I think that might be an old expired narrative, Choppy, of everyone going and sitting down in Jerry's office.
It's not about,
I don't think Jerry's like that involved to that degree.
I don't know.
It's only Zeke.
Yeah, I don't know if it means like sitting down in his office. It's just the whole organizational aura. It just feels like a country club. And when you have I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal when Jerry landed his helicopter on the side of the football field at practice.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's just a microcosm, the entire thing. And
are the weight room windows?
Yeah.
Just a bunch of little things adding up.
None of them really matter on their own. I just don't know that the organization is set up from the top to have that toughness about them. Bernard Hopkins has said, you know, it's really hard to wake up at 4 a.m. to go train when you're in silk sheets.
Yeah.
It's just really hard.
Yeah. Who's 2 and 3 on your list? Who was 1 for you?
Guts. Well,
Guts was 1
Guts
for
was
me.
One. Okay.
I got to blame the players.
But you got to isolate.
I'll start at the quarterback.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you know,
I'll go Diggs then Dak for my list. Diggs than Dak.
I knew the only reason why I would go Dak ahead of
Dak
Diggs.
Dak was bad, but he did get assaulted.
Yeah, the only reason I would go Dak ahead of Diggs is just because it's like I figured Detroit was going to put up 35 yesterday. Like Dak needed to keep up, and he didn't.
Jerry was asked after the game, how big is the gap? Is there a gap between you and the top of the NFC?
I think the real question is can we close that gap in a matter of this season? The answer is yes.
No, it isn't.
I surely do.
No, it isn't. Based on what? Based on what?
That's a very Nick Sirianni thing. Don't worry. We got it. Don't worry.
Ah. What are you... Are you magically import? Are we getting Micah Herschel Walker 2.0? What are you... Based on what? That's... Jerry Jones, 8:30 tomorrow.
I'm adding that to my list of antagonistic questions.
Franklin, injured attorneys, Fantex, organization is soft and entitled. The one constant is Jones. List of who is to blame in order. Number one, Jerry Jones. Number two, the owner. Number three, the GM. Number one, Jones needs to change the culture. Two, McCarthy and Zimmer, lack of prep. Three, all the players. I wonder if the GM wasn't the owner, if the GM would have been fired already.
I'm trying to think of the mics. Do I want to sub out Dak for the mics with McCarthy and Zimmer as number three on my list? I put Diggs too because he's supposed to be like the attitude leader on that side.
He was supposed to be the only elite player left on the defensive side of the ball yesterday.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was arguably the worst player on defense.
Because Detroit is not a good pass team. Defense. Their secondary got torched in several games this year. One by Seattle. Baker did it too for a time.
They're opportunistic. They take the ball.
They're opportunistic. Yeah, Branch, when he's healthy, is good. But, you know, you should be able to pass on them.
I'm putting out the bat signal for Jeff and Keller. I want to hear from Detroit Jeff after his team put the beat down on us at 877-881-1053. More of your Cowboy calls, Odyssey app, Fire. And did Jaden Daniels actually pass his biggest test of the season? All that next on a Cowboys Monday after this.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.